Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks & Jacks. I'm Tom Al. I'm at Weber on the board. SP Futures down 25. NASDAQ Futures down 98. So that's not good. And we've got, it's not good if you're long. It's good if you're short, but who the hell's left it short? Dow Futures down 170. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. Happy Friday to one and all.
Yeah, we've got your buddies from Amazon gave earnings last night. Their revenue was up 44% from last year. That's a lot.
Gee, that's a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a surprise. Meanwhile, Apple has gotten some issue from
you. You know, I wonder how much of it's going to erode as some people return to more normal shopping patterns. A lot of people aren't going back, but I wonder how many people will say, okay, I can go out and shop now, I'm gonna.
As long as you got 150 million people thinking they owe it to them because they bought Amazon Prime, they're going to be doing fine. What is
I don't think 150. Have really 150 million people bought Amazon Prime?
Some huge number like that. Let me find it. I had it last night, and I didn't think we were going to use it, but it's up there, or has something. Yeah, it's big. I'll find it. You know what? Well,
it's 148.6 million.
See, I'm not usually that far off.
No kidding.
Amazon Prime members. Yep.
So you owe it to them.
Well, that has to be worldwide because we don't have that many households in the United States, so there's no need to buy outside of your household.
It does say members in the U.S. an increase of 49% from 100 million in 2017.
I'm sure that's the number they're reporting. It just doesn't make sense to me. How many households are there in the U.S.? We have 330 million people.
Wait a minute.
So if you average, 2.2 per household or something like that.
It's Friday morning. Why should it make sense?
That's a good point. There's not a whole lot has made sense in recent years, especially in the last year.
The European people, I mean,
there's 123 million households in the U.S., so there's more Amazon Prime members. Like I said, 149 million members out of 123 million households.
What makes you think small businesses
aren't just dumb to spend the money on two subscriptions in your own household?
What makes you think a small business isn't a Prime member, getting stuff for deliveries for free?
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, okay, thank you. That solves it. Now it makes sense. My world is okay again.
So Apple, it makes as much sense as strapping on your Nikes, grabbing your iPhone, and going and beating up a Chinese person. Well, we're doing that.
Okay, who did that today?
We had somebody this week, didn't we? Where was it? Somebody got arrested someplace. We're doing that.
Yeah, there've been a number of those assaults. I think they've probably been going on for a long time, but it's getting reported more now.
Yeah, I would say so. But it's
and it isn't Chinese specific. Actually, it's Asian because there are very few people who are able to tell the difference between one nationality and another. I mean, there are some characteristics that you would,
if we went to the,
would be able to identify as more typically Japanese than Chinese, or more typically Korean. Although Korea's history is being alternatively, overrun by China and Japan. So there's been a lot of ethnically mixed Asian groups residing in Korea.
Maddie, did Mr. O'Neill find an old Wheaties box with like Bob Richards on it back when America was America, and have like a bowl this morning or something? Does he actually think that the person who sees somebody who looks Asian, who immediately assumes they're Chinese, gives a rat's behind whether they're really Thai or Vietnamese?
Probably not. I care.
No, all I'm saying is it's not a tax on Chinese people; it's a tax on Asian people
because they think they're
so much different. And then, of course, you get to certain provinces of China where the people look more like they're Russians.
I'm sure there are many people
off the hook.
I'm sure there are many.
they can be Chinese immigrants, but they get off the hook.
I'm going to say that back in the day, a lot of people back in the day before you and I were around, not just even before Webby. That a lot of people took outrage at somebody red-haired, assuming they were Irish, when in fact I had two or three of my great aunts and uncles that are Italian had red hair. And I'm sure that they would have been attacked as being Irish 100 years ago. Did anybody really care?
And then they got the beatings that they roasted so richly deserved.
Yeah, well, yeah, being Italian, sure. By making that linguine cook it too long last night, you know? Why not?
That's right.
But once you get into people who don't care enough about other people, they're not about to delineate. I don't think. I'm just
saying. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that is a good point.
It was like, I hate America.
I just tried to seize the teaching moment.
Yeah, I hate American Nazis. Well, they're not really Nazis. I don't care. They look like Nazis to me.
No, I hate Illinois Nazis, though. Yeah. Because you can tell.
You can tell if they're not Indiana Nazis. You just came here for the little thingy going on. So Apple's in trouble with Europe by saying that their antics in the App Store, by preferencing their own stuff, is antitrust. How does anybody in this country not realize that the way they're handling their apps and preferencing certain people and shoving some people out if they all of a sudden you get an app, one I understand. How does that allowed to go on, Kevin? I mean, I'm beginning to think my new shtick, which is not a good shtick, by the way, my new shtick is the government we're getting, you know, and I don't know why it took me so long to figure this out, because maybe I'm just dense. As soon as Matt's buddy Slick Willie, meaning Bill Clinton, started to use focus groups to prepare his speeches, I have this really, I mean, I should have realized, the hair should have gone up on the back of my neck and saying, this is a real problem, where you continually tell people what they want to hear. And because you look at what's going on in the economy, you look at what's going on even in some of the criminal stuff and the other. They're giving back to this to society exactly what people want, or exactly what people do, and it's pretty scary. I mean, we're giving back to people who have a whole bunch of debt. We're going to send you money, and we're going to take on more debt on this end. So your debt goes down a little bit, ours goes up. Now the population should never buy that crap, but they do, and they are, and they're all over it. To be honest with you.
So I think the problem is twofold. I'm all in favor of giving the public what the public wants, as opposed to the president's comment the other night, where he said the government is the people. Well, you know, no, it's not. I'm in favor of that, but I'm also in favor of a decent civics and economics education to go with it, so that when we say we're going to give the people what they want, you know, it's an educated desire. We don't do that civics education and economics education thing very much anymore.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, even though he's dead, so I can quote him, George Stigler. I'm going to go out and say that the government exactly gives the people, the government, but we idiots like you and me, and I don't use that term as a, I mean, because we're very shielded on what we believe, I think, because as I get older, I start to see stuff that I never saw before, and I wonder how dumb I was all those years. The government works very well for the people that make it work for them. If you have a lobbying group, if you go get your influence, if you support people, if you get your message in the door, I think the government responds exceptionally well to you. because that is the business of government. It's the business of politics. And I think the business of politics is quite a bit different than the business of good government in a lot of cases. Maybe not in Richard J. Daley's A Good Government is Good Politics. On a city level, I think when you're talking about, I use the term grunt things, if your garbage isn't picked up, if you got a huge pothole in front of your house, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass election day. But the esoteric stuff that the federal government does, whether or not some company over a period of 20 years can all of a sudden get massive amounts of contracts, or because those people are working every senator that is, that continues to work. But you and I have no chance of stopping that. We can make life miserable for our aldermen if our garbage cans have holes in them and the rats are running in and out. We can't make life miserable for the, I mean, I'm not talking about physically, but for the senator from Georgia that makes sure he gets a huge defense contract for somebody in his district. We're just too far away. We can't do it. And by the way, the people in his district love it. So, I mean, it's I think there's our guys like you and mine, and I'm beating ourselves up in the mirror. Guys like even people who listen to the show and listen to us because we bring up stuff that other people don't bring up, still don't have a tremendous knowledge or appreciation of how, quote, government works and how efficient it is, how the politics are. I mean,
what's the number one goal of a senator or congressperson?
Well, right now it's to make huge amounts of money and get elected. It used to be just elected, but now that's changed.
Yeah, it's to keep their jobs. I hearken back to grad school finance course I had, and a professor comes in and he says, okay, everybody, the first class, what's the main goal of chief financial officers at major multinational corporations? And everybody's, the people are saying, well, increase the stock value, or increase the value of the firm, or profitability, or anything. No, the number one job of chief financial officers of major multinational corporations is to keep their jobs.
Well, and to keep
that's the same thing
but
in politics.
But
just keep getting reelected, because yes, you can keep making all the money.
But it has changed dramatically, Kevin. I honestly believe it has changed dramatically in our lifetime. Not just, I'm going to say, in Maddie's lifetime. Maybe since when he was 5 years old, he didn't care. But in the last 30 to 40 years, it has changed dramatically. You're never going to get an Adlai Stevenson or a Paul Simon or even a Peter Fitzgerald again that is in the Senate for a period of time that doesn't feel that they should make as much money as a CEO and doesn't find a way to make it. And Paul Simon came home, I don't know what kind of house he had down south, and went and taught at Southern Illinois until he died. I mean, he didn't, the guy didn't come back with $50 million. But now the people, and I think you're seeing this in Congress, you're seeing people get elected as representatives that are really good young people, not all young, but, and they're there two or three terms and say, for me to actually get any further here, I've got to pile into the money gig to a tremendous deal, and I got to become co-opted. I got to become Denny Hastert. I mean, I got to have a history of behind me that somebody has, and somebody can control me or something. So something strange is going on, because all these people now have nothing but money. I mean, and it's not. And you can point at Nancy Pelosi, who I can't stand, or you can point at Schumer, or it doesn't, not Schumer, the McConnell, whose wife has made much bunch of dough being on boards and stuff. The idea of the significant other lobbyist. I don't think that was I'm sure somebody could point out to me that 50 years ago somebody's wife was a lobbyist, but I'm saying it was a one off back then. But now there's a way for it. Now, I mean, the idea that Biden's kid, it's either your kid, your wife, your husband, somebody that's got their nose up the ass of government money wise. Virtually any of these people that have been there a long period of time. I mean, you had some people, to his credit, I don't think Teddy Kennedy was, because he had family money, okay? Maybe people didn't like some of his politics, but I don't think you could say that he went to Congress to make money. Because that generation, I don't think Dan Rostenkowski had a huge pack, but when Dan ran the second time, he forfeited his pack. Nobody now would do that.
Yeah, no, Ted had different motivations going to Congress. Yeah. It was to meet great checks.
Well, that could be too, when he was younger. but I'm saying is...
I think when he was older, too.
Well, let's see, Irish guys managed to hang in, or at least some of them. But the point being is that it has changed totally. These guys, they're not happy. Like our buddy Doc told me the story about Marty Russo, who was a lawyer from the South Side, and he was one of the Con guys. And he said Marty was a terrific guy. He was a good he said, but every year he got elected, two more years to the Congress, he fell behind further in terms of money, in terms of club memberships, in terms of really local influence, although everybody likes a representative, than any of the guys that he went to law school with that were now in some big firm, and all of a sudden they're making, you know, this is 40 years ago, they're making 150 grand a year, and he's making 25 with two houses in Congress, and he wasn't on the take. You know, if you're on the take, maybe it was different, but he wasn't. He was an honest guy. And all he did was fall behind. And these guys now are absolutely, there's no way in Nancy's mind that she doesn't find Nancy Pelosi or McConnell's mind that they aren't at least as important in this world as the head of Palantir, who just got $1.1 billion bonus this year. I mean, that they're not at least as important as those guys and should be paid accordingly, somehow. That has changed dramatically. They're for sale, I think. And we're seeing it.
I'm with you.
But what I'm seeing is you're seeing government work exactly like a business. If you go into the Ceres Cafe every night and you have a run up a $500 bill and leave a nice tip, I guarantee you, at the end of 2 months, your table will be waiting for you and people will be dying to wait on you. Right? Same way if you go into, you know, the local steak place. You think Dan Rosikowski ever had a worry about his table at Morton's in Washington when there'd be 20, 25 to keep pulling tables next to it and everybody gets a steak and whatever kind of wine they want and somebody pays for it? What do you suppose that tab was some night for some lobbyist? 10 grand? 20 grand? You think
that was cheap. You think, no, it was that's cheap marketing.
Yeah. Do you think Danny ever had a wait in line for his table? I'm thinking no. Just matter of fact, interesting story. Everybody knows my Pullman years. We had the contract. The first new railroad cars the city of Boston had in like 50 years. Okay, they literally had holes in the floor in the old ones. So they're going to get these new they're single level push pull cars. And the ones here in Chicago, for those that don't know, you see the Burlington and all those places. Those are gallery cars, where most people are going to say they're double-decker. They're not. Because in the middle, you can see there's a hole in the middle, so if somebody walks by, it's not quite high enough for him to walk under where the seats are. So it's a gallery car. Or the single-level push-pull were the first ones Pullman made for Erie Lackawanna way back in the day. Anyway, Boston essentially orders the same car. The guy who was the head of procurement for the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority is a guy named J. David White, who has to be long dead. Well, every night, David would have his clients would take him to dinner at Anthony's Pier 4. And I'm assuming they're still around, but at one point, they were one of the top 10 restaurants in the world in terms of profitability. Spectacular place. There was a drawbridge or a little bridge you went over with like a little thing, of like a little river in there, and all the lobsters and crabs were swimming around the river. It was pretty neat, Kevin. But it was a spectacular place. Well, David would hold court in there, and he'd be in the bar. And all of a sudden, my first night, I go, well, and he said, well, after like, you know, 7 drinks apiece, I mean, these guys were pros, which, of course, Pullman's buying, we decided we're going to go in for dinner. So I said to my man, Wally Kilray was the marketing guy I learned so much for. He goes, so Wally, should I tell the host that we're here? Hey, shut up. Don't even worry about that. I'm like, okay. So sure enough, there's this big, long line. The place was very popular. So our 6 or 7 people walk right by the whole line to the front where all these people, and of course, everybody's like, who the hell are those guys? Get to the front, and without saying a word, the host goes, Mr. White, your table's ready. And there it was, a table for 8. As soon as we walked in the bar, he didn't have to tell a soul. That table was there, and everybody kept saying, who the hell's that table for? Well, it was for us. Well, not for me. It was for J. David White and party. And, you know, and everybody, I'm sure,
yeah,
Pullman.
It's sort of like Henry Hill walking in the Henry Hill restaurant scene when in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
I love that scene. All of a sudden, a table comes out of nowhere, and they plug the lamp in.
Yeah. it's not like, you know, did politics work? Sure, it worked. I mean, people are politics. So when you start talking about now, how do we, with the current group of citizens do we have, how do we continue to stuff money into the pockets of all the people who gave us dough? Well, you know, we got all this social thing, and people get pissed off. We're gonna treat people like they're my dog Scruff. Well, we'll have a big prime rib for dinner like we always do, but this time we're going to be mindful of winging Scruff a bone, and he'll be happy. And what do you think's happened? I mean, that's what's happening. Yeah, the big companies.
Yeah, and the problem is that it's so detached from the representatives are so detached from their constituents that you know that connection isn't made. It's one of my favorite arguments against bigger federal government. You know, have the government as big as you want, just push it close to the people so that there's more accountability. You know, we see what happens locally. And maybe in Chicago you can't do anything about it, but in the places where most people live, including many of the suburbs, you can do something about it. You can rally people around causes and around corruption and the like. So right now, yeah, this is just what happens in Washington, and hardly any of us are there.
Well, look at the numbers this week with Amazon, with Facebook, and, Twitter actually beat on all their numbers, but they said going forward they weren't signing up as many people, so the stack got clunked. How many million words? Twitter's down $8. I mean, it's down like 15%, trading $56.93. So how many words?
Sorry to see that.
Yeah, how many words in the last year? And how many times have these guys been dragged up in front and, you know, essentially de-pantsed allegedly in front of Congress, and yet they grow bigger and bigger? I mean, they couldn't be growing any bigger and getting any more government largesse, and yet what we're gonna keep threatening we're gonna spank them? I mean, what are we doing? Could we possibly as long as we do that, as long as we drag them in front of Congress, then it's okay for them to get bigger and bigger even more, and it's okay
sure,
for
yeah that's actually good. Those hearings are good for some of these companies.
Sure, oh, absolutely,
because it looks like that they have been had their wings clipped when actually nothing happened other than some people called them names.
Well, yeah, and you get done with it, and you say, well, I'm glad that's over. Let's do whatever we were doing, only twice as much, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, okay, back to it.
This whole concept, any single one of these situations with, but we don't even know if you ask, I'm not so sure I could do it, but if you ask anybody, walk down to the saloon, walk down to the coffee shop, wherever you're going, the lunch counter, and say, what exactly is Amazon's plan? There's all kinds of people that are going to say, well, once they get rid of all these small people, they're going to raise their prices. That's why you got on the stock. Okay. That's not a felony. Oh, man, who cares? I mean, does anybody really care if Apple screws somebody in their app store? I mean, nobody cares. No, does anybody care that all the Apple stuff?
Unless it's your app getting screwed. And a lot of people do develop apps.
That's, yeah.
It's not unusual nowadays. But by a lot of people, that doesn't mean... that doesn't mean more than a fraction of a percentage of the population.
But I think
if your app's getting screwed, you care. If it's somebody else's, you don't know who the app authors are anyway. So it's pretty hard to relate to it.
But I would say that at the end of let's say for instance, and who knows what the motivation was. Let's say for instance that Trump was spot on in this China stuff. That somebody after all these years had to call these guys out and say, "Hey, look, you got slave labor. You got a bunch of corrupt people in your government that are taking money from our big firms, and the money is to keep their finger on the neck of their labor, which it is. All this stuff going on. But I think at the end of the 4 years of Trump, one thing that has been very obvious to me is nobody here cares. Just don't tell me about it, and let me buy my stuff cheaper. I don't care.
Nobody cares. The average person doesn't care, and the people with the power to do something about it are co-opted.
Well, I mean, did anybody back in Roosevelt's time in this country, did anybody up north really give a rat's behind whether 14-year-old girls were sewing the buttons on your blue jeans? I don't want to hear about it. Just don't tell me about it. I got my problems, too.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I can't hear you.
Yeah, but you're, you know, it's, if everybody didn't do that to their mother at least once before they get cracked, I don't know. Of course, you can't crack anybody anymore. but you know, I mean, it's, it, does anybody care? They just don't tell me about it. Why do I want to know about that stuff? Does anybody really care how your dog food? I mean, I thought the Chinese finally went so low that you couldn't get any lower when they sent the dog food over that was poisoning people's dogs. I thought people wouldn't care if their kids got poisoned, but they'd care if their dogs got. Even that,
don't mess with the dog.
Even that,
and there's a certain sense to that, you know, where your teenage kid might look at you and go, "God, Dad, you suck." Your dog is just happy to see you.
Yeah, well, and we had, I mean,
so yeah, don't cross that line. Definitely don't cross that line.
But what was the plasterboard, sheetrock, whatever you want to call it, that people bought from China that was so bad that when it got wet, it was eaten through people's electrical wires in the South? Can you imagine if that was made here, how that company would be out of business and how every lawsuit in the world, and somebody'd have their kid up there saying, "Geez, my kid would have been a pro athlete if he only didn't eat some of this plasterboard, and I'll look at him, he's 2 feet tall." I mean, it'd be something like the asbestos situation. Yeah, because it was Chinese, how long did that last? Well, we can't sue anybody over there. It must be okay. You don't see anybody, commercials from law firms saying, "Let's sue the Chinese over your plastic for it eating through your electrical outlets." None of it. I mean, I have no problem with anybody from any other place, but I'm just saying, I mean, I'm all for world trade on a huge scale, because I do think that eventually will help everybody out. But this is crazy. But nobody cares. How much are those blue jeans? 50? Those are 60? Give me the $50 ones. I don't care when they're made. S&P futures down 23, NASDAQ futures down 103. So you can't get out of government what you aren't. You can't expect them to improve your life, because they sure aren't. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708 708- 208-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us. We're going to quiz Mr. Matty Weber, although I think he's going to know the answer to this. Not because he has they put a commercial on me here. The best sports bar in Illinois. I think it's one that you go to. Northwoods Tap?
Oh, yeah. I have Northwoods Inn, I believe, is what it's called. Been there many times. It's a Wisconsin/Green Bay Packers bar.
That's what they claim here, right on the thingy.
They have good fried cheese curds. Go figure.
Wow. The best, you know, I think the best sports bar that I ever went to was the first one I ever went to. I went to one in Columbus on a weekend where it was nothing but we went to see an Illinois game. Of course, Illinois got roasted. It was the only one I've ever been in. They had the massive TVs, but every table had a speaker where you could dial the TV sound that you want. I've never seen it since then.
I've seen that. It's a lot of places have that. It's rare, but a lot of sports bars have that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean,
it had a chain over here that's out of business now that used to put a small television. So they had their big screens up on the at the place, but then they had a small television at every table, every booth.
Really?
So you could watch whatever you wanted.
Yeah, I've seen that too, which is nice. So you can, especially during like the NCAA tournament or something like that, where everyone wants to watch a different game.
Well, we're up to seven number one picks for quarterbacks on the Bears. They haven't had a 4,000-yard passer. They haven't had a good quarterback, an upper-tier quarterback in 50 years. And they managed to spend. Anyway, SP Futures down 21.
It's actually longer than that.
You guys are leaving McMahon out. He was the 80s. Is that 50 years?
He was pretty
good.
That's
40.
Yeah, he was pretty
good. Well, 35.
Well, nobody, they don't count him as
very good. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback. Well, he won a Super Bowl.
Well, they don't count him as he wasn't a 3,000 or 4,000-yard passer or anything like that.
But you know what? We did this exercise once before, and I remember I'd have to go find the email because it's probably in my archives. That if you go look at his numbers for a couple of years there, right in the middle of when the Bears were at their best, his numbers were really, really good.
He
was one of the top passers in the league.
I'm not a McMahon basher at all. I'm just saying the career type quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just saying don't forget he was a really high round, really high first round pick. And he was one that panned out, but that he had too many injuries, and his problem with injuries was almost self-inflicted because he didn't condition really hard, and he tended to think he was a real football player, so he tried to initiate contact too much.
Yeah, thought he was Bobby Douglas, but he was not. Anyway, SP Futures down 21, NASDAQ Futures down 87, Dow Futures down 159. Amazon's up $84, but at one point last night it was up like 190 something. It might actually have been top 200. And we've got Twitter, like I said earlier, is down by 15%. So the earnings last night weren't the best. Around the rest of the world, we've got over in Asia, Nikkei down 241, that's 0.8%. Shanghai down 28.8%. Hang Seng, however, down 579, that's almost 2%. I mean, ouch. We're not sure why it's happening over there today, but at least I don't get the... There's not the Asian stocks down as Matt Weber leaves the can. There's not one of those headlines today. DAX down, up 8. Call that flat. FTSE down 12.2%. Tehran down 22.3%. So slightly down over in Europe, but actually very slow. As a way of review, yesterday Dow was up 239. NASDAQ was up 31. And S&P was up 20. It was really bizarre. S&P futures during the show yesterday were up like 30-ish. Mid-morning, they were down 5 and then turned around, went all the way back up, and then came down a little bit. So it was kind of bizarre, but they ended up right really almost at the top. Bonds, unchanged, 1.64. The Bund, minus 1 basis point to minus 0.20. Japan unchanged at a positive 0.09. We've got oil down $1.16, but still 63.85, still way above 60. Brent down $1.01, 67.55. Natural gas down a penny at 2.89. RBOB unchanged at 2.09. We've got gold up 2.89 to 17.71. Silver down 3 cents. Copper up 3 cents, 4.52. I'm still putting some people in some of these copper stocks. I don't know how long this is going to last, but as of right now, it doesn't look like there's any stopping this copper. A palladium up another 33 bucks, 29.82. That was pretty long-winded. Maddie, what do you got for us? Travy Weather Sports.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no delays to speak of on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson, Southside Expressways, Lakeshore Drive, Suburban Tollways, all quiet. Only issues to report, we have a crash in Mount Prospect on Mount Prospect Road between Northwest Highway and Milburn Avenue. That has Mount Prospect Road closed due to that crash. Apparently, emergency crews are blocking the area in order to tow a vehicle that was struck by a train. So that's not good.
The train didn't leave the tracks to chase this vehicle, did it?
No, they typically don't. The only other area of note here, southwest suburbs, we have Wolf's Crossing Road between Harvey Road and US 30 is closed due to unsafe road surface. Crews are assessing a culvert, which may be in danger of collapse. So that has that road closed in the southwestern suburbs. But everything else quiet out there. Weather today, sunshine early, and then more overcast later on this afternoon. A cold day, a high of just 52, which is about 13 degrees below normal. But we do have some sunshine here early. Right now it's clear and 49, and we're going to stay right around here with a high of just 52. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 97 today. Right now it's clear and 68. In sports, the Bears shocked the NFL world last night by trading up with the New York Giants from the 20th pick all the way up to number 11. And then they added a fifth-round pick this year, along with first and fourth-round picks in 2022, to draft Ohio State star quarterback Justin Fields with the number 11th pick. So Justin Fields will join Andy Dalton and Nick Foles in the Bears quarterback room as the QB of the future. As GM Ryan Pace, I guess, gets one last shot here at drafting a quarterback. In baseball, White Sox swept a doubleheader on the south side, beating the Tigers 3-1 and then blowing out Detroit 11-0 in the second game. Cubs blew out the Braves down at Atlanta, salvaging the final game of the four-game set 9-3 last night.
Ray, what was that pitcher?
For the Cubs?
Yeah.
I didn't see. I'll have to pull up the box.
El Yoto, I mean, something looked like a rookie. He looked pretty good.
Was it Alzolay?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been there all year.
Well, he's been there.
He was there last year, too.
Yeah, he's been pitching pretty well, actually. He's been one of the few bright spots for the Cubs.
Did he start the year in a rotation?
Yes. He's their fifth starter this year. He's their top-rated pitching prospect. Not super highly rated, but he was their number one pitching prospect in the organization last year. Called up a few times to make some spot starts, and then this year he's been in the rotation all year. He's been good every year, and then the bullpen has blown leads for him, and that's kind of...
I just randomly must never have turned on the game when he was pitching.
Yeah, he's got good stuff. Diamondbacks topped the Rockies 5-3, and in hockey, the Blackhawks lost in overtime last night as their playoff hopes are all but gone. 4-3 was the final in OT.
Getting 1 point from Tampa is good for them, though.
It was they played Florida there. Last night. Yeah.
Still, and 1 point from anybody is good for them.
Yes.
What's the story? What is wrong with Kyle Hendricks?
I don't know, but all the contact that he's given up is hit really hard so far this year.
Everybody's right down the middle.
Yeah, so he's hanging curveballs, he's missing his spots, and then when he misses his spots, it just gets crushed. He's given up either 8 or 9 home runs already this year. Last year, obviously, it was a shortened season, but still, you know, in however many starts he had last year, he gave up 10 the whole season. He's already given up, I think, 8.
I've never seen him with so many balls right down the middle. What is going on? Is he hurt?
I don't know. It's a good question. He says he's healthy. He's just, his mechanics are off, and he hasn't found it yet.
Maybe that's your problem. Your mechanics are off whenever he hits a home run. Just saying. Hey, Kevin, as you lecture on these very subjects, explain to me, Lucy, how, with this chip shortage, which nobody even really, I mean, I don't know what the hell it even means, other than there, when you say there's an old nasty term in economics, there's no such thing as a shortage, it's too low of a price, right? Because if you raise the price, all of a sudden you don't have a shortage because some people can't afford to pay the price. So now it's not shortage anymore, it's there, you just can't afford it. How is it that some firms seem to be, now Apple's starting to make some of their own chips, But how is it that some firms seem to not have any problem whatsoever, and yet Ford is saying it's going to cost them $2.1 billion in the next year? And how is it some people, is it the lower-end chips? I mean, when I say lower-end, I think from Audrey's cousin Ed, who does the knows an awful lot about cars, owns a used car place, used to own an Oldsmobile dealership, so there's something like 30 or 32 separate small computers on a complex car now, like on a Cadillac where you got all kinds of power this and power that. All of those have some kind of a chip in them, but do they just use secondary chips in the they can't all be top line chips running your heater, for God's sake, in the car. It must be, seconds, or they must be some. Is the chip shortage, I guess, somehow delineated?
No, they don't have seconds. Remember, these are affecting your ability to drive your car. It has to be good. Has to be highly reliable. You don't have room for chip failures when your car's cruising down the road at 70.
When I said that, I'm speaking from years ago when I was on the double secret 2000 Y2K committee at the CBOE. I learned an awful lot of chips that are in a telephone were actually designed as high-end chips for something else, didn't pass inspection, but were perfect for a telephone. So when you say, you see that all, that's what this is. When you buy a sleeping
bag. Yeah, I hear that, because what happens if it goes bad on your telephone? Well, your conversation gets disrupted.
But
we're talking about things that have to do with moving parts on your car.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the chip may not be a first run for running a medical device, but even at the capacity it currently is, it's 10 times better than a normal chip would be that you put in a telephone. That kind of thing. The same thing happens in
truth be told, I'm not aware of any kind of low quality chip market. I think because if you think about production to gear up to produce all these different kinds, it's just easier to make them all good.
Well, I guess what I'm fumbling here, and I'll stop it in a second. It's not a question of it's good. It's sort of up to spec. I mean, I know somebody who's in the quote fibers business, where something that was run off at Celanese or someplace to be designed for a high-end, down jacket, say, may come out not up to spec. However, you're dying to buy it at half price to put in sleeping bags because it's the best stuff anybody ever had in a sleeping bag. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, my question is the problem in the chip world more at the lower end of the chain? Something that would go in the, because not every, there's going to be a high-end chip in your car that runs the main computer, the one that runs your radio probably is not the same price chip, is what I'm saying. Is there a delineation between where the problem is? Is the high-end ones are the ones at the biggest shortage, or the low-end ones? I guess that's my stupid question. I should have said that first.
Yeah, well, and like I said, I'm not aware that anybody is making low-end chips. I think they're making chips. But aside from that, this is the demand amplification thing that I talked about on Wednesday. This is... It gets worse the farther you get away from the producer and the consumer first and then the producer. When you get a demand shift like we got last year, it amplifies through the chain, and the recovery process is really difficult to get everything back into a state of equilibrium. It's just the way it works. It works that way every single time, and so what we saw was that the demand shifted away from cars, and so the suppliers, if you go all the way back to chip manufacturers and the suppliers, they moved everything that they had away from production for cars, and it takes them a while to gear back up to get it. And by the same token, a lot of demand did shift into other kinds of devices because everybody went home. Everybody had to have laptop computers, things like webcams, printers at home, all that. So that's where all the market shifted, and it's going to take time for it to all get back to the way it was. And then you, like you said, you got Apple wanting to make their own chips. You got a lot of people who said, I'm not going to get burned by this kind of a situation again, so they're starting to gear up their own production, both domestically and in other countries, but with their own production facilities.
Have you heard, because I have not, or maybe Matty has, because his business obviously is involved in a lot of software stuff, have you heard of what exactly the shortage is? Because when I say that, is it in one particular rare earth metal? Is it in something that goes in there? Is it in the manufacturing capability? Is it labor? I mean, if you and I decide to spend $1 billion and tear down Matty's cornfield in Iowa and build a chip manufacturing company, we don't do anybody any good if the problem is in some rare earth metal we can't get. We just got a big factory sitting there doing nothing.
Primarily in inventory. So once inventories got depleted and there was nothing to ship, you know, you have to build that back up.
So there's no...
You know, we're used to being in a system where there was plenty of inventory on hand so you could divert to wherever you wanted. But we just don't have that now.
So there's no particular shortage of one key ingredient or anything we're pointing to. We're just talking about...
No, there's nothing like that.
Okay.
It's just we gorped up, you know, that's the technical term, we gorped up the supply chains. And it's going to take a while to get them back to something resembling normal. Remember the example we walked through. You know, we totally changed the demand for rental cars, which then totally changed the demand for new cars, which then changed the demand for chips, which changed the demand for, you know, mining, you know, materials that got mined. But some of it got diverted to technology devices other than cars, and some of it just got curtailed. And so now the producers cut back, so the miners cut back, so that, you know, and it goes all the way through there. Now, you say, okay, snap your fingers. Let's all go back to normal. Doesn't happen that way.
Well, I know that one or two, and I don't know if they came back, because they make these decisions once in a while, in the rental car area, that they used to have all, I think all three, well, the big three, long before, you know, today's world, but would have a, they'd do like a rental car run. Where they'd say, "All right, we're gonna do this sort of Chevy Impala for Hertz, and we're gonna run 1,000 cars, and they're all gonna have the exact same equipment. Maybe we'll have two colors, and we're gonna run them for Hertz." And they used to give them a terrific price, which you know you can get when there's no customization to it, and we're all the same. And maybe it's just to keep the factory running in the 3 or 4 weeks that your regular demand is down. Or it keeps your parts guys, economies of scale. It does all kinds of things. And if for a period of time, General Motors, I know for one, said, we're not going to do that anymore. If you want to buy the stuff, you can buy the stuff. We're not going to. And I think Ford did it for a while for a long period of time, the only car you could really rent was a Taurus. Cause Ford couldn't sell the Tauruses, but all the rental companies liked them. And, so there's all kinds of different inventory games like you're talking about being played. I think for right now, there's no way on earth that Hertz or Avis walks up to Ford and says, "Hey, we need 1,000 cars. How about run them off for us?" They're going to say, "Nah, we're not going to give you a car at 22 grand, and we can get 30 as soon as we get a chip for it." Right? I mean, it's not even close.
So expect to pay $100 a day for a compact for a while.
Yeah, and how much can you buy an Uber guy for the day for? It'd just be better. You got a guy driving you. Just saying.
Oh, Uber's paying big bonuses to their drivers. They can't get drivers because everybody's staying home. Everybody's staying home and collecting their unemployment. So Uber's not. Uber is offering, like in the Chicago area, $100 bonus for doing three trips.
Well, Uber rates are at an all-time high too. Try getting an Uber on like a Friday night. I mean, you might pay $40-$45 to go 2 miles, and you're like, "What the hell? I'd rather walk."
Funny you should mention that, man. Our attorney buddy, we stopped for an adult beverage down at O'Neill's a couple weeks ago, bar downstairs, and he goes, "Hey, can you give me a ride home?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because he's like he's a mile away." He goes, "Well, Uber wants $25. It's on a Thursday night. There's nobody around. I mean,
there's no one driving. So the cabs are obviously gone and have been for a couple of years, and now there's no Ubers driving. So the rates are just unbelievable.
Maybe we should. I hear anecdotally. If the cab medallions are down to like 10 grand, should we grab one?
I mean, weed? Do you have a mouse in your pocket? I'm not going to be a part of that, but...
Why not?
It sounds like I have no interest in driving a cab.
I didn't say you had to drive it. We got a driver. We're going to lease the medallion.
So what can you get for leasing a medallion?
You still get like $30-$40 a day.
Really? Well, So in, what, 50 years we get paid back?
Your math isn't so good. But, but, I mean, the thing could go up. What if we actually get a convention again?
That's true.
Someday.
That ain't going to happen this year, so don't worry about it.
You know, let's talk about that for a second, Kevin.
For a second, but then we have important stuff to discuss, so let's get to it.
Well, I'm saying right now, if you listen to the TV, the talking heads, I'll be nice, you get this massive reopening sort of trade where we should just be buying everything because everything's reopening. I'm going to say that a lot of your cities, well, by the way, your buddy de Blasio claims they're going to be 100% open everywhere July 1st. You want to take the over or the under on that? We're going to have 100% capacity at basketball and football games and stuff and baseball games by July 1st. I hope he's right. His lips are God's ear, but I don't see that at all, do you? Or was it July 30th?
You know what? I think he probably wants to keep his job, so he's got to open up.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is right now I heard on News Radio 78 that the Convention Bureau is talking about their first solid year is going to be 2024. So you can, even with the government throwing money out at everybody, how the hell do you buy into the restaurant and hotel business in Chicago when you go buy today? And right now, today, they're closed and losing money. I mean, how do you put a date on that when it's all of a sudden going to flip around? Let's see, losing 100,000.
Well, and they're not going to reopen 100% because some places are never going to reopen. So.
So, I mean, how do you? I mean, the idea of buying into this at this point. I mean, I really am counseling a lot of my clients into let's at least try to put a value on something that's ongoing. I mean, trying to guess, you know, when the Conrad Hilton is, if you could, well, you can't buy into the Hilton here because you got to buy Hilton, obviously. But I mean, how do you guess when that's coming back? I mean, right now, today, the cruise ships, despite how much money they got from government. Right now, today, they've got to be, you know, peeing away how many million dollars a day on a ship that you don't move. That guessing game, that somehow or another,
you've got to maintain it as if you were using it every day too. It costs you just as much to maintain it and not use it as it does to maintain it.
Well,
and
the guess right now, I guess, is no matter what, no matter how bad it gets, if it's a year or 2 years, I hope not, that the government is somehow going to prop everybody up in certain industries and they're going to be okay to go. I don't know, Kevin. I mean, it's probably going to be that way, but I don't know if I can counsel somebody and say, you know, don't worry, these cruise ships are fine. How can I tell somebody that? Don't worry, these airlines are fine. How much are they losing today? I have, you know, $20 million. Don't worry about it. I mean, how do you even begin to counsel somebody to say don't worry when you're worried?
You don't.
All right. So, what do you you want to talk about? Draft or baseball?
The draft. Yeah. The draft. Yes. So what do you think? I'm kind of a mind that I really wish that the Bears had traded into the fifth quarterback picked instead of the fourth quarterback picked, because I am much more confident that the other general managers will make one mistake out of that group and let the Bears just get lucky with somebody that fell to them. Than I am in Ryan Pace's ability to choose one of the two quarterbacks and get the right one.
What do you think of the first three picks?
We can go with blind squirrel theory as maybe it will prevail.
I don't see the Bears drafting the supporting cast that this guy needs to be a star. I don't see them. They'll do the same thing for him like they have everybody else. So they'll get a running quarterback without a line. They'll get a passing quarterback without people that can pass block. They just don't seem to be able to coordinate anything to me.
Well, the question is, what do they need? Do they need a second receiver? Yep. So that's important. Although they did sign, who they signed, Matt, was the free agent that they signed?
God, my brain is not embarrassed.
But he's real fast.
Yeah. Whoever it was, it's a real pro. It's a real pro receiver. He's not an all pro receiver, but he's a real pro receiver. So you have that. The second thing that they need is they absolutely need a tackle. I think they need an offensive tackle. They will get James Daniels back this year on the offensive line, so that helps. They developed a couple of guys. they drafted their tight end last year, so I'm kind of expecting that he will emerge a little bit. You know, I don't think it's completely hosed on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's, you know, but there's pieces they need, and one of them is they really could use that dominant tackle to pass block, and then let the other tackles on the roster slug it out for the other spot.
How good is the Bears signed Marquise Goodwin, by the way?
Yeah, how good is
the wide receiver that they signed a couple of weeks ago, who has all the tools, but had some injury issues with San Francisco, and they're kind of hoping he can resurrect his career like Allen Robinson did when he had injury issues in Jacksonville, and then the Bears got him for pennies on the dollar, and he's been an all pro.
Who's this tight end that went like third or fourth? They said can't miss out of some Southern school. They said he's unbelievable.
Florida, I thought.
Yeah, who is he that good? He must be. He'd be up there.
Don't know. Didn't see much of him. So I'm assuming yes, because everybody was drooling over him. So you know, I'm sure he's incredibly gifted.
Are you guys?
I think the Bears are probably pleased that Cole Kmet, you know, developed some last year, and that he has a lot of upside. So, you know, he will add to their receiver. He will probably add to their receiving core this year and be a reliable tight end.
Are the two guys
that
from
helps.
The two guys from BYU and South Dakota State, who I've never saw either one of them play, are they that deserving of that high in the draft? Two quarterbacks?
Well, again, everybody seems to think so. So, I never saw Trey Lance play. I saw Zach Wilson play once, and he was impressive when I saw him play.
I mean, is he you know, big arm the whole bit, or is he? I mean, does he have all the tools, or is he like a little guy?
Yeah, oh, let's see here. I happen to have it open here, so let's pull up his profile. He has the arm. He's only 6'2", so he's not huge by NFL quarterback standards. But they rated him a 6.5 on NFL.com, which is a pretty high rating. Although they say it does say here, boom or bust prospect.
That leaves a spread.
He's going to be a big boom, or he's going to be a disappointment. Well, if that's the case, he's going to the Jets. What would you say? I go bust then.
Well, the used to have
it's just something about being drafted by the Jets that's going to do that to you.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, are there anybody on here that used to be rated as like all pro their first year? Tight end, maybe. I mean, are there any linemen or linebackers that are that high? I thought it was Matty. You were saying the draft is not the strongest.
This draft, from what I've read, and of course you don't really know until a few years afterward. But this year's draft, I don't think was considered to be the deepest draft that we've seen. Whereas next year is considered on paper one of those once in a decade type drafts. But this was very quarterback rich to have five QBs taken in the top 20 picks or 15 picks, I think it was. Is pretty rare. So a lot of potential at the quarterback position, but yeah, none of those real can't miss, you know, left tackles or edge rushers or anything like that, at least on paper. But a lot of wide receivers went high, and the Alabama kid, Devontae Smith, that, you know, was the best player in college football, was what, the third wide receiver taken?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised at that.
So that's really surprising, but
how good is his tackle on Northwestern? Last question. He's first round.
He's really good.
He's real good?
Yeah, you're talking about Rashawn Slater.
Yeah.
He went 13th overall to the Chargers, left tackle out of Northwestern. Really good, all Big Ten player, and should translate well to the NFL.
Well, good for him. SP Futures down 21, NASDAQ Futures down 89. Kevin, have a nice weekend. Talk at you later. We'll be right back, Mr. Kyle Deninger.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson, at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allies, Mr. Weber on the board. SP Futures down 22, NASDAQ Futures down 89, so we're getting slight buying the dip here. Again, Amazon up $88, was up like almost 200 last night. But we've got Twitter is down like 15%, so we've got stuff is moving on these earnings, more so than I would have liked, because I like to play them that are priced in such a way to move a real lot that they don't, but they have this time. Carl, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, hey, a little, I guess Monopoly only works to a certain point.
But we're not there yet, doesn't appear.
Well, no, unless you're at the wrong point. I mean, Twitter, my assumption was that they were going to continue to see the gains that they have cemented by essentially silencing any sort of opposition to anything that they do.
Their numbers are pretty good, but people.
Yeah, I guess maybe people expected they'd be even more effective at blowing your brains out than they actually were.
Yeah. Low guidance. You can't be. That's what the guy buried his stack in Ford by giving the low guidance too, saying, "Hey, we're gonna produce so many less cars and." It's $2.1 billion in sales over the next 2 years before we get back to normal. So he took the stock down, 10%, which is a lot for a stock that's $11, $12.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the stuff that's happened so far in this earnings season has been fascinating and very validating for all of the things that I and you and a bunch of other people have been talking about for a while, but nobody seems to care enough to do anything about it.
Well, when you have an awful lot of stocks that are trading, 80 times revenue and 50 and 100 or 500 times earnings, to where you and I would look at a stock and say, if that was $50, I don't know if I would buy it and have the thing trading 300. You're kind of at a tier I've only really seen once, and it was in 1999. I mean, you're at a number to where any little word that's said by somebody, the president or somebody saying, well, we might not grow 100% 2 years from now. And we're like, okay. I mean, we're taking chunks out of it, but we're still not, a stock that's trading 250 that's down $15, that's up 100 this year. Okay, it's down. You'll hear somebody say it's on sale, but God, Carl, if it was 50, you and I wouldn't give it a second glance. I mean, there's a lot of that going on, in my opinion.
Yeah, there is. And it's, I thought I'd sort of seen the exhaustion of it, before this COVID stuff started, and boy, oh boy, was that wrong.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's fascinating when you look at who's really gotten the ramp jobs out of these reports so far. And there's a tremendous concentration in a handful of names all of which have the so-called merit that they've been stepping on people's necks through things that I wouldn't have contemplated doing them when I ran my internet company, because I would have expected to go to prison for it.
You know what, though? You would still go to prison for it because you're too small.
Well, that's true. When you think about it, that's really where the problem lies. It is not so much that, you know, I mean, I've talked about the Amazon sales tax thing for years, okay? People think that Jeff Bezos was some kind of a genius for coming up with this idea of putting warehouses under separate LLCs and then claiming to not have nexus in a state. Like, this was some novel idea. It was not a novel idea. It was something I came up with in the 1990s when we were looking at expanding in Wisconsin, and I was told that if I did it, I'd go to jail.
Yeah, well.
And then, you know, and so I was like, okay, you know, the exact words that were used over a game of golf and several beers in the golf cart with the cute girl, you know, that came around that resupplied you whenever you got low, was, well, you know, I don't normally do criminal law, but we have people in our firm that do. Do you have the retainer?
Well, but a real attorney would have said, you better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Just go ahead and do it and see if they ever get you. And what the response that they forgot was, duh, people loved it so much that it would be. I mean, what would happen now if you and I were elected governor and lieutenant governor in Illinois, and the first thing we did was somehow demand, now whether you can do this legally or not, I don't know, somehow demand from Amazon their 1,000 biggest clients in the state of Illinois for the last 10 years and send them all a bill and say, oh, by the way, since you didn't pay on time, you owe us double. I mean, how popular would that be? We're talking about law enforcement now has become a popularity deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing is that there's, it's just one of those things that was just understood that you just didn't do. I mean, I wouldn't even go have lunch with somebody else that was in my, you know, within my market segment, because, you know, somebody gets a picture of that and hey, these guys are talking about price fixing.
Well, I mean, I have, what would you say, a more dim view, and it's, you know, it's been statute of limitations because I've been on the trading floor in 20 years, but everybody would be, if you didn't do something correctly where some customer even had the hint that they might have got screwed for a teeny, meaning a 16th, 6.5 cents of a share, you know, people were outraged about it. I mean, people on the floor, because, hey, this is our business. Our business has to be fair, has to be straight, or we couldn't, you know, we can't operate. I mean, the word would get out, and that's not the way we want to be. Yet the big firms kept getting bolder and bolder. They take the other side of positions, and they'd move the price their way and demand people to get out of the way, or even worse, they'd say, you guys, at the new price, you guys can do half. They never had any thought whatsoever that their mother was going to show up with a stick. You know, none whatsoever. We're too big. Let us worry about it if the SEC comes after us, because they won't. No, by the way, neither will you guys, because if you do, we're going to another exchange. Their view of the world, so totally different than mine, Carl. It wasn't even on the same planet. You know, and one of the guys in the OEX pit, he went to a, I didn't, you know, be honest, I didn't even know just how sheltered I was in the South Side. I didn't even know what a boarding school was. And I'm like, what do you mean? Boarding Marist was bad enough. You had to be there from 8 to 3. You couldn't leave. It was like prison enough. The thought of staying there like all night never crossed my mind that people actually did that in high school. But evidently people do, especially in the Northeast, right? I didn't know anybody that ever went to one of those places. So, of course, on the floor, there were a lot of people that did that stuff. And one guy was, I think it was telephone, but the telephone's been gone for a while. I think his old man had gone to boarding school with some guy who was the CFO of telephone. And every time there was a earnings in telephone, the old man got the call 20 minutes before saying, here's what the earnings are. And the kid would trade again. But weird part is earnings are very difficult to trade against. So I think he was like 50-50. And the thing I want to trade against, not labor numbers, not anything, I want to trade against Fed announcements. I mean, those are gold. But earnings on a company, I don't know. I think that's sort of hit or miss. You'd still rather have the number, right? But anyway, but I mean, I said, well, how does he do it? Because you don't understand. Everybody hated boarding school. The reason why you went there is to meet people like that. And you went there because you're going to get the phone call 20 years from now. What don't you get?
You know, yeah.
I mean, it's a, you know, I was, just real quick on his Amazon, their earnings per share is, let's call it $16. So that's $64 a share. And the stock's trading, $35.50. So what are we talking? How many times earnings? A lot. Do we actually think that we're ever gonna make, you know, $300 a share on this thing and be 10 times earnings, or wherever you're going to get a check for a dividend? I mean, what are we, as an investor, what do you think is happening? But the reason why I was dying to have you on here, Carl, was last night somehow I got embroiled between the Sox doubleheader and the other games that started. You and I have talked once in a while about, you know, maybe the board situation. Out of all the things wrong in this world, that maybe the thing is the most wrong is the idea of, corporate boards, how they're just, because these guys on CNBC are all over it, and now the guys from McDonald's, nine of them are getting sued by shareholders. How the hell you got to give a guy a $60 million bonus to leave when the dude left because he was messing around with one of the, you know, somebody in a company? I mean, why does he need a bonus for that? So I landed on this company, Palantir. Now, if you know too much about it, or you're too close,
yeah.
If you're too close, you know, just tell me, and we won't go any further, but the CEO, how's this for a name? Alex Karp. How would you like to? You wouldn't want to name Alex Karp if you're on the trading floor, because you know, weaseling a trade was called carping a trade, so you really wouldn't want that as your name. But at least he's KARP, not CARP. The guy was given $1 million options that vest quarterly. His total pay package for 2020 is $1.1 billion, and this. But this is right down the alley of what you were talking the other day. And this is what I have a problem with government not having any balls. Because if I had a client that had, you know, say they worked for, you know, Carl Inc., and every year they bought stuff in Carl Inc., and that was their 401k or whatever, and all of a sudden they retire, and they never made more than, you know, $150,000 a year as a couple or whatever, but they've got this $1 million worth of gain in Carl Inc., for them to be in the 43% tax bracket, to me, is unconscionable. And something that could have gone either way. If ever would have went down, they only get to take $3,000 a year off. And I mean, then the consumer price index might have gone up five times during their 30 years they worked, their 40. I mean, that to me is unconscionable. Now, you brought up a point that what they're really trying to do is get these, CEO kind of guys that by getting stock options that they never actually bought, they just were gifted to them, or they really were income, they've been able to lower their rate down to 21% based on the Trump tax thing. And that people in Washington are saying that this is crazy. Now, here's a guy out of this $1.1 billion. But I went deeper, Carl. I went into this, you know, kind of the history of this company, which is hard to find because they seem to have all got these government contracts that they're living on. But there were years these guys spent the whole year raising $450 million in new financing. I mean, when they grew up, it was not easy. How the hell, when you know, 8 years ago, you couldn't find $450 million as an investment? Do you give this bump $1.1 billion in 1 year? I mean, how does the board say, wait a minute, I was on this board where we couldn't buy a dime from other people, and all of a sudden we're going to give this guy, you know, twice a financing deal in 1 year? I mean, what's going on here, Carl?
Well, that's the problem. And the thing that, you know, some of the pushback I've gotten in that article is, well, you know, RSUs and options on the day they vest, they're treated as, you know, they're withheld as supplemental income, and, you know, and their present value at that particular moment is taxable. And that's absolutely true. But the whole reason, you know, and I think it's kind of interesting because I've been in this position as a non-officer, non-director, but considered a key employee in a public company that I was hired before they were spun off from another public company, okay? And part of my compensation package did include stock options. Well, my expectation was that through my effort, everybody else's, that the company, of course, was going to succeed. And the hope, of course, is that all those stock options become extraordinarily valuable over some period of time. And therefore, you don't have to work anymore. Basically, it's your golden ticket, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, guess what? If I hadn't been offered those as part of the package, I would have demanded more money. And what would have happened with the more money that I got paid during all that time? Well, I would have had to pay income tax on it, right?
Right.
So explain to me why I should be able to play this game, defer it, and then get a capital gains rate. It's not the same. Look, if they gave me the higher cash payout for as an employee, and then after I had paid my taxes, everything else, whatever residual I have after I pay my rent and my power bill and, you know, everything else, and living in Chicago, and, of course, you know, good God, city stickers and all this other nonsense, and I've done all of this, and I want to take my own after-tax cash and invest it, that's a passive activity, even though I'm still subject to all the rules of when you can sell, because, you know, that's how it works, right? Because you might have inside information. But other than that, if I get that as part of my compensation package, the entire reason that I took that is because I took less cash. And for me to be able to tax advantage that is wrong, period. End of discussion.
Well, Carl, how does it, I mean, I should know this, but how does it work if your stock's trading 50 and they give you options that can vest at 30? I mean, what, that particular year, what do you have to pay in income? Obviously, you got to pay in the 30, right? Is ordinary.
Right, the 30, well, that's right. The 30 is taxed, okay? And then, and you pay that as, you know, it's part of your compensation. But what you've basically been able to do is take what was otherwise going to be compensation, because you would have demanded it in money.
Right.
And pay a 20% capital gains rate on it, you know, 5 years from now. All right,
assuming it goes up.
Whatever appreciation it gets. And the problem with this is that when you build in buybacks into this structure, and you are essentially transferring the public ownership of the firm to the executives, and thereby goosing EPS as long as there's a profit. Now, of course, the downside to this is that it also makes the negative number larger when there's a loss, right?
Oh, yeah.
But assuming that there are profits, it makes the EPS number go up. This means that all the PP, you know, the PE numbers, everything else go up, and therefore it tends to drive price. Well, when you are doing that deliberately, and at the same time you are transferring the percentage of ownership from the public to the executives, you are essentially depublicing the company under the table. And this is why, up until 1982, I think it was, when the SEC changed it, it was considered market manipulation and was illegal.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I tell you what, though, I have seen, after the 1999, 2000 fiasco, I have seen it work the other way, where somebody, I'll use a stock, I'm not going to give you the guy's name, but it was an Oracle, and the stock was $65, and I think the guy got vested at, I don't know, 35 or something, so he paid income tax on that, and then he didn't, or I think he actually had to pay it on the market price the day he got it. Because he wasn't an officer or something, it wasn't. They just gave him the stock. I don't think it was an option. So he somehow or another, as the thing started rocketing down, he was left with ordinary income and capital loss.
Well, RSUs work that way. Okay, so if you get RSUs, they're actually stock, but they're restricted in terms of what you can do with them.
So yeah, so
there's, you know, there's time limits, and, you know, I mean, you can't sell them for 5 years, or, you know, whatever the rule is.
Well, if you can't sell it for 5 years and you sell it for a lot less than you got it for, then that really kind of sucks if you got to pay taxes on what you got it for when you couldn't sell it.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, my thing has always been that without control, you really don't have ownership.
I would agree.
Okay, that if I do not have, you know, if I live in a house but I can't sell the house, then it's not my house. And I would argue that, you know, that without control, I don't actually have ownership. Now, I, you know, the government probably sees this differently, but that's the way I see it.
Hey, I know you're always, you know, keeping your eyeball on this and this COVID situation. I've had several people now that are clients, that they know we do the show and listen, that have called and said that they have had COVID on their own, had the antibodies, and then because they were abused into it, went and got the vaccines when they still had their own antibodies. And a few of these guys have had a pretty rough reaction, especially the second shot. Is that something you've seen?
Yeah, and actually that is just flat out stupid to do that. Okay, and that pattern is very common, and it's very troubling, and it is something that I have I've pointed out. Hey, if you're crazy, do stupid things, win stupid prizes is the way that I've put it several times. But there is absolutely no scientific evidence, none, that taking these shots, if you've already had COVID, offers any benefit over whatever your particular level of immunity is that you already have. And there's another problem, which is that we now have two scientific papers out, and this is not to necessarily bag on any particular individual or organization, other than to say that going fast means you don't look first, right? I mean, this is the thing about speed is you pass over what you otherwise would not. There is now two sets of studies that say that the spike protein, which is all that's encoded in these vaccines, is by itself pathological in the human body, causes disease.
Really?
Now, if that proves up, and again, I mean, this is, one is a paper that is in preprint, and the second is a study that was done in genetically engineered mice, which are often used as a way to, because you can't sacrifice humans, right?
Well, at least
people get angry when you do that.
At least without telling everybody.
Yeah, so, there's that. But what they found is that the spike protein alone caused very severe lung damage.
Really?
And the potential problems from that. I mean, you think about how many people we've been stabbing in the arm before these papers got published. All right, this is stuff that's just shown up in the last couple of months. And this is what happens when you shortcut all of the protocols and all the procedures that we use for development of virtually every drug that's ever been put into the market. We took this encoding from China that they said, okay, here's the spike sequence, and they gave it to us when they had it sequenced. And we just took on faith that without the rest of the virus that this was not going to be harmful to people.
Right. The whole idea was you're not...
There's no evidence of that.
Well, I've said that in the air. You're not getting the whole virus. It's probably safe. Maybe I'm wrong now, like everybody else.
Well, guess what? Everybody assumed that, but there was no scientific evidence that that was true.
Well, I've had... since I had the COVID, I have had several discussions with people that are anxious to get me to get the vaccine. And I said, what I'm looking for, and I should have it, everybody should have it, even people getting the vaccines. There should be an ongoing total, since we've been doing this now for, half a year, three quarters of a year. There should be an ongoing study that would be so easy to do, Carl. Here's people of six different age groups that had the COVID in when we started giving people vaccines. We're now May, so say what, September? Maybe we started giving vaccines out.
At a high scale, I think it was more like November, December. But either way, 6 months.
Okay, so you, whatever it was, enough to where, okay, I'm gonna pay you idiots $20 a month to come in and do antibody tests. I would like to know, out of all the people who had the COVID themselves, I want to see the rate at which the antibodies are degrading. I got one of these studies from Britain, by the way. I want to know the AstraZeneca vaccine. I want to know the Pfizer vaccine. I want to see the Moderna vaccine, and I want to see how they're all degrading. Because I'm not trying to be some kind of goofball here. If it were to say, men over the age of 60, it looks to us that at the age of at 7 or 8 months, your home cooked antibodies or your shot antibodies are either the same, or the shot's better, or the shot's worse. It looks like after 6 or 7 months, you better get your fanny in there for a shot. I have no problem with that, Carl. But my problem is, why don't I see that? This is not a guess. This is not politics. This is not hyperventilating in your voice to where you fall over because you got too much air in your lungs, so you're talking too much. This is about the simplest thing I've ever come across in medicine. Because we should know, do we want to put it in next year's flu shot? Right? I mean, is a booster for people.
So there's a further confounding problem, and this was the subject of an article that I did that was quite long a couple of days ago, and that is that the evidence is that the pre-existing immunity that people had, you know, I've talked for a long time about the fact that things like all the way back to Diamond Princess, the original cruise ship that got sick, that there was a huge amount of pre-existing immunity in the population. There had to be, because cruise ships are full of people that are ridiculously overweight and otherwise morbid and old, and you'd think this thing would have killed them all. Well, it didn't. And so when we get this data now, worldwide, 81% of the population has pre-existing recognition to some part of this viral envelope, and the majority of the resistance that you have is to the nucleocapsid part, which is the inside part of this virus. It is not the spike. And the implications of that are profound, because that implies that not only are these vaccines not durable, but they're targeting the wrong thing.
That wouldn't be good.
No, and yet, but this is what happens when you go, you know, when you don't take the time to do the work first, okay? And it's not, you know, it is not that the idea was bad. It's that it just simply takes time to do these studies. These guys came up with a panel of peptides, different protein sequences, and then took samples, blood samples, from people prior to COVID existing, and went back and looked at, okay, what's reactive against what? Who has some kind of pre-existing resistance at some level? And they found an utterly amazing, I mean, 81% of the population has some level of resistance. And this totally explains why a very small percentage of people get hammered. It's why my friend's grandfather was killed by this thing, and his grandmother, living in the same house, didn't even sneeze, because she was essentially already immune. She got it. She tested positive, but she never was hurt by it.
Does anybody have a clue? I'm curious. This is Carl, you know, I talk about different stuff every day with different people. I know you write about different stuff, not just the stuff we talk about. But I'm finding that there's the things I'm asking here. I'm not asking for somebody to redo the polio vaccine. I'm not talking for any of these people to be Jonas Salk. I'm just asking them to keep track of the things that they ought to be keeping track of here, that should just be general knowledge when you do something. It's very similar to the other day we were talking about. I don't know if you're listening, but we have a bid on the table from two Canadian rail companies to buy the Kansas City Southern.
Right.
And I say, okay, now there's going to be a lot of pushback saying, you know, we don't need that. And there's going to be those guys saying, well, what are you talking about? We do a good job. We're going to invest this. We're going to invest that. We got deeper pockets, you know, blah, blah, blah. However good the Kansas City Southern was, it's going to be better under us. However, Carl, just like you and I are talking about with the disease, in the last 20 years or maybe 22 years, one or both of those guys, Canadian rail companies, took over the Illinois Central and took out the Wisconsin Southern. Wisconsin Central? Wisconsin Central. So there ought to be a pretty serious history of what was promised at the time, what was argued against, and here we are 20 years later, and we should be able to just say, hey, Joe, somebody must be keeping track of this, you would think, or somebody can do some research pretty damn fast in the next month. Get two people from here that aren't doing anything anyway at the ICC. I want to report what were the promises on the in Illinois Central. What were the promises on the Wisconsin Central? What did they say they were going to do in terms of investment and all these other kinds of things? And did they do it? Did they exceed, not exceed? What does it look like compared to the day that they bought it? There's nothing here without history, Carl. And yet, whatever it is, we seem to have nothing. I mean, let's talk about FFA. SP Futures down 24. NASDAQ Futures down one. I'm not asking for an agenda. I'm not asking for an opinion. I'm just asking, what happened? And now we don't even know. We don't care. And yet, we're going to make a decision again. Same thing with the COVID. We at least should be keeping track of, by the way, is this antibodies better with the vaccine than with somebody who got it? This should be just a very simple. It looks to us like, you know, yeah, even if you had it, you're better off with the vaccine because the vaccine gives you a better response than your own body does on its own. I'd love to hear that, Carl, but I don't, one way or the other. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
I'm reading here, man. I haven't got to the bottom line is yet. The ranking states by marijuana use.
Use or sales?
Use.
How do they know that?
Top marijuana using states: Oregon, Colorado, Maine, and Washington. But the number one use for pot state, you and Carl, neither one are you going to get this.
What is it?
Vermont.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I would not have guessed Vermont.
Well, I think all of those states that you just mentioned have been legal for a while.
Well, we also know that the actually your buddy Bernie had mentioned that the biggest state, which I would have put number 50, honestly, 49 or 50, the biggest state in the pills. What do they call the pills?
The opioids.
The opioids is New Hampshire. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah,
I mean, oh, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that. And, I mean, not even close guessed that. SP Futures down 27. NASDAQ Futures down 123. Dow Futures down 123. Like I said, this is what Amazon is now up $65. I think it might have nipped up 200, Carl, but I'm going to say 180, 190. So it was up there, and it's still up there, but not as much. Facebook, I was down 4. It was up the day before, obviously. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei down 241. That's 0.8%. Shanghai down 28.8%. Hang Seng down 578, 2%. So big move in Hang Seng. Over in Europe, we're slow here. DAX up 49.3%. FTSE up 13.2%. CAC around down 7.1%. Yesterday is a way of review. Dow was up 239. S&P was up 28. NASDAQ was up 31. So NASDAQ was up, but not as much as the other guys. Bonds unchanged at 1.64. The Bund minus 0.21. Japan positive 0.09. So very little movement there. Oil up a dollar, down $1.48. It was up. It was pushing 65, down 63.53. Brent down 129, 67.27. Natural gas up a penny, 292. RBOB down 4 cents at 205. We got gold up 79 cents. Silver down 2 cents, so very, very quiet here. Copper up 3 cents again, up 452. Boy, this Freeport McMoRan came out with earnings. Stock got hammered on earnings. What a spot to have bought the dip. It kept flying right back up. It's a fun time. I think I bought the dip was in there. I did buy a little bit of that. My clients, so that was a good one. Bitcoin up 1768, but 54,716. So it dropped down and then it came back up. So it's right around that 55,000 number. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Traffic building heavily on the Stevenson. No accident to report, but high traffic volumes already for a Friday morning on the inbound I-55, so keep that in mind. Eisenhower's building steadily as well. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are normal for this hour, but not nearly as bad as the Stevenson. On the north side, it looks like there's some red on the Kennedy near O'Hare, but no accidents to report. Eden's looking good. Lakeshore Drive is quiet in both directions. Only crash in the area right now is in the western suburbs. Army Trail Road at Gerber Road in the Carroll Stream area, there's a crash. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine early, then some clouds will roll in later on. Shouldn't have any rain, though, but cold temperatures, well below normal, a high of just 52. Right now, it is crystal clear and 49 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 97 today. Right now, it's clear and 69. In sports, like we talked about last hour, the Bears made a big splash in the first round of the NFL draft last night, swapping picks with the New York Giants from 20 to 11. They also threw in a fifth round pick for this weekend, and then first and fourth round picks for next year's draft to get their hands on Ohio State star quarterback Justin Fields, who is now the Bears QB of the future, going 11 overall out of Ohio State. In baseball, White Sox swept a doubleheader from Detroit, winning 3-1 in Game 1 and 11-0 in Game 2. Sox are playing good ball. Cubs blew out the Braves down in Atlanta 9-3. Diamondbacks beat the Rockies 5-3. And in hockey, the Blackhawks lost in overtime to the Florida Panthers 4-3. Chief.
Where's Mitch?
He signed with someone. And now all of a sudden I can't remember. Let me look it up real quick.
What's going to happen if he turns out having a nice career somewhere else?
It's very possible. He's got all the tools. It just has to click with him. He's now the backup quarterback of the Buffalo Bills behind Josh Allen.
He's a pretty good backup, I think.
I would say so. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Josh Allen's, he's a serious guy.
Josh Allen is considered to be a top price six or seven guy in the league.
Is this going to be Buffalo's year, you think?
To win it all? I don't think so, no, but I think they're
pretty close.
Very solid, and I think they have a good coach, and they're very talented. In the last couple of years, they've been in the playoffs, but for some reason, they're missing something that the great teams have, the Chiefs and stuff like that, and they just don't seem to have that.
Well, they're all their star players, the terrific drafts, are all now in that 3-4-5 year range where they should be at the top of their game. So if they're going to do something, it should be right about now, right?
That's right, yeah. Last year was definitely probably year two of that, call it 4-year window. So they maybe have 2 years left, I would say, because before they you have to start paying all those guys and they get you know, cherry-picked from your roster.
They get dispersed.
Yes.
Dispersed. Yeah, Carl, I mean, it's funny, as I go from, like we were saying before the break, as I go from topic to topic, I keep running into the same thing. We seem to have this total lack of rigorousness on a part of our governments to actually do the job right, tell us the truth, and actually be right once in a while. You know, I mean, there shouldn't be a debate about the Canadian National at this point. I mean, you promised us this amount of investment in the IC. By the way, you either doubled it and you were terrific citizens, or you didn't pay any attention to the piece of paper once you sent it to us, and you put no investment. Oh, by the way, you've lost 50 cities when you said you were going to gain 5, or the other way around. I'm not trying to set an agenda here, other than I don't see why we don't have a running idea of how well people are doing vis-a-vis had it themselves, and the different, because we have a choice of 5 different four or five different shots here. There's got to be some difference between the two of them. Are we going to continue to tell people they're all the same when we... I know they're not. You know, the difference between 95% and 89, I mean, am I going to quibble about that? No. But, I mean, there is a difference. I mean, you can't tell me there isn't. I mean, what are we doing here? When somebody gets elected, all of a sudden they get to determine whether people get to hear? I mean, where did that all start? Maybe it's been there
forever. Well, it's been going on for a long time, and I mean, it's part of the problem that you have with what's happened in the medical industry in general. I've been raising a stink about it for the last 10-plus years, and it's that you have allegedly peer-reviewed papers, and yet many of them are nothing other than bought-off opinions. They don't have anything to do with the actual content. In many cases, the person that supposedly reviewed them wasn't actually involved in doing any of the work. They just found somebody that has a big name and got him to put his name on it, and that, therefore, gets credibility because he's got a bunch of letters that, you know, that came from whatever he published. Well, that doesn't mean that he actually was part of that work, okay? It just means that his name's on the paper. Well, you know what? That kind of thing is exactly like Ford coming out with a new truck and saying, this is the best truck that's ever been made. Well, okay, that's called puffery. There's nothing wrong with it. It's advertising. But we're not supposed to have that in scientific journals.
Well, we seem to have the same issue with, I'm not going to say 100% of it was, but when your networks essentially spit up a half hour a day for your evening news, or was it an hour, and said, all right, we're going to at least have news. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't compete and want more people listening to Walter Cronkite than whoever was on Channel 5. I mean, there was always that kind of competition, but you would think our population would realize that Fox News all day or CNBC, not CNBC, well, those guys too, but CNN, when you're talking about 24 hours, you're talking ratings. You're not talking about news at all. I mean, there's a little news in there, but what you put on there, if it bleeds, it leads. How crazy the story is, you're going to say, you know, 48 people died here, and all of a sudden you'll find out it's a trip where everybody's got to be 100 to go on the trip. The headline sometimes bears very little similarity to the story. So I mean, because you're looking for ratings now, but there's people who think that CNN all day long is news. No, it's not. I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, neither is Fox, right? I mean, but the fact that somebody's dumb enough to think that probably is somewhat of the problem. But how do people get out of the education system? I mean, it's been a while since I graduated from places. I look at something like this and I'll go, well, that's an interesting opinion somebody has, but that's not rigorous science. And a lot of times, Carl, I'm the only guy in the room that feels that way. Everybody else says, what do you mean? It's got to be what the guy thinks. It's got to be a study. Well, no, it doesn't. You can put your opinion out there, throw a few words behind it, and it's just your opinion. Just tell somebody, like Kevin's always ragging, just tell somebody it's your opinion. I don't care if everybody gets to write their opinion column here. Just don't put news on the top and have the article be your opinion. And why do people put up with that? Why do the boards put up with some guy getting $1 billion in 1 year? I mean, why is this happening, Carl? I mean,
you shape opinion, right? And you know, this all goes back to the original. You take a look at, for example, advertisements for washing machines from a paper in the 1930s, okay? And what you will find is that they all extolled some virtue of saving time, of something quantifiable that you could actually look at and say, okay, you know, this particular machine has 4 rollers to squeeze your clothes and the other one has 3, okay, or whatever. Okay, fine. But what we have learned, of course, as time went on, is that this is not how you sell things. The way you sell cars is by making every man who sees your ad think that he's going to get laid if he buys one.
Oh, sure, sure.
All right, and so it, whether or not the car actually has any benefit over the other one that he already has doesn't mean anything. Now all we are doing is going down that road because that's how you sell things. And unfortunately, what's happened is that this has become part and parcel of how we do virtually everything in the country, including things that are supposed to be scientific. I mean, you've heard this thing about, well, you know, the sea level is going up and we're all going to drown. All right, well, guess what? I built a dock in 2000, and therefore I know exactly where the sea level was and off the coast of Florida. it hadn't gone up an inch. And that's scientific fact, because the pilings are still in the same place where I put them.
Well, yeah.
I don't own the house anymore, but I have 20 years of experience with this. And you can't tell me that now, if somebody else, and by the way, as we all know, if you take two buckets and you connect them with a hose, you put water in one, you end up with the same level of water in both of them, right?
Or one would hope, yeah.
Well, that's physics. That's
yeah.
what happens. And so if you have water levels going up somewhere else, but not here, then what you're really seeing is the ground is going down. The ground is sinking. Well, guess what? We built a bunch of cities in places that were swamps, and they're sinking.
Well, not only that,
the sea level rising, that's the ground going down.
Well, not only that, in New Orleans, in some places, we sucked all the oil out of the ground that was holding it up. It fell because of that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, in New Orleans, you know, gee, they didn't do that on purpose, right? What do you think they built all these levees and these pumps for?
I like the part where you go into the cemeteries and the caskets are... You ever been down there, Manny? Were you ever going to a cemetery down there?
I've been there a couple of times, yeah, but no, I've seen the big tombs or whatever they call them
but you're talking about. But your regular, you know, the people who can't afford the tombs, the regular caskets, they're like above ground. Because the water table's so, you don't want them floating away.
Yeah, kind of gross when you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be kind of weird, you know, going down the street, right?
Hey, there goes Manny's great grandfather. I wonder if he knows he's in transit. God. I think that there has been somewhat of a change. Even people who, let me put it this way, even guys that had, I thought were, you know, had odd personalities and so forth, guys like Dick Nixon and Tricky Dick and those kinds of guys, I honestly believe that, you know, John Kennedy had his thing going with the ladies, that's for sure. But those guys had a lot different view of just telling people any kind of BS they wanted. They weren't Bill Clinton, who would put people in a room and do focus groups on what the population wanted to hear, and go out and give a speech 20 minutes later saying just that because you knew what people wanted to hear. I mean, I don't think you'd get Tricky Dick doing something like that. Now, that doesn't make him a saint, but and he had the same ego about how he should be, you know, the world is better off with him in office than most of these guys, but they just the BS rolling off the mouth with that generation, it didn't come as easy, let's put it that way. I don't think. Now, is that just, you know, Mayberry, me talking Mayberry, I don't know. But this constant... I think Biden is willing to tell you anything to get what he wants. Now, their view is that their agenda and their, you know, having their people around them elected is so good for you, whatever they do to keep themselves there is somehow okay. And I just never bought into that. Now, does that make me, you know, an old school guy or something? Probably. But the idea that, you know, we've got an endemic now, and people are telling you crap in the endemic on both sides it isn't true. I mean, somehow or another, right? That to me is unconscionable, Carl. I mean, yet it doesn't seem to be stopping. I mean, does it?
Well, it's all about money, and that's one of the problems that we have right now. I mean, there's photos circulating of all these ventilators that Trump bought on an emergency basis, literally still in the crates being disposed of.
What are you doing if you don't need them?
Well, yeah, but you know what? Here's the reality. We never needed them.
No, we never needed them.
Okay, we sent an entire ship up to, you know, up to New York City, and never had anybody in it.
Well, yeah. Well, look, we did the McCormick Place here.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and we spent all... Yeah, I get it. When there's something really bad going on, you try to do what you can to help, right? Because, you know, it's just what you... I mean, certainly the optics of it, you want to look that way. But at the end of the day, this drive to be fast instead of understanding what we're doing has hurt people and gotten them killed.
Well, I'm sort of stunned, and I certainly don't want to go into it heavy, but it's a, who knows, people might be eating breakfast, but I mean, what's going on in India, which is horrible. I mean, I've been reading more about it. I was reading it the other day between games, but can anybody divorce the COVID fiasco over there from the fact that half the population does not have indoor plumbing?
And here's the other thing too, as a percentage, and this is an interesting, because, you know, everybody's screaming about India. First off, some of these claims that are being run in the media, including major media like the New York Post, they are lies. There was a photograph that was put up of some lady in the middle of the street with a industrial oxygen tank next to her, claimed to be because the hospitals were out of oxygen. In point of fact, that photograph's a couple of years old, and it came from a time when they actually had an industrial gas leak.
Okay. Well, you got to
killed a bunch of people.
Well, you got to use the pictures you got, right? You got to use the pictures.
Well,
but
you know what? That is just flat out lies.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. That woman did not have COVID because it was, you know, the picture is 2 years old. All right, and they were trying to treat her because she'd been exposed to a poisonous gas. Well, I mean, that was triage at the site of where that accident had happened. And so that kind of thing has unfortunately permeated our society and our so-called news cycle, but it's not new. People do that kind of thing all the time. And so you look at this, though, India, in terms of deaths per 100,000 population, of all the nations, this is off Worldometer, they're 118th.
Right, but they have an awful big population, and if they start...
Well, when you have 1.3 billion, okay, yeah. And so we on the other hand, are the United States, I think, is like 15th or something like that. So, I mean, okay, it's horrible that people are dying, and I understand that. But how about a little perspective instead of, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling, and we're all going to, you know, we're all headed for the grave tomorrow.
But you read a couple of articles... coming at it from one direction. I read a couple coming at it from the exact opposite direction, in that they're very close to China in the sense that the numbers are telling people that are actually been affected, either sick or dying, are like, I mean, if you go online right now, I haven't done it recently, you're going to find out that China had 85,000 cases. I'm going to take the over on like 8.5 million, Carl. I mean, we're not even on the same planet.
Obviously they're lying. Yeah, obviously, yeah. China lied.
I mean, they're saying in India is kind of the same thing. The last thing you want to do is give the real death numbers.
I don't know. The other thing that has happened is that India is a large country and has very high population density. And then again, though, they also have multiple provinces. One of the things that's interesting is that there was one province that was using a drug that we're not supposed to mention. And they have a much lower case and death rate than the others. And just within the last couple of days, India has reversed a ban on using that drug. Now, interestingly enough, that ban, when it was put in, correlated with this acceleration, as did the start of vaccinations. Now, does that mean that vaccination has potentiated infection? Well, there's reason to believe maybe it does for a few weeks after you get stabbed, because if you do not have an actual effective level of antibodies from the jab, you might actually become more susceptible. And there is some evidence to back that up that goes all the way back to the original SARS. So you basically, the bottom line is, you can't vaccinate your way out of a pandemic when the epidemic is going on. We've known this. This is why you don't get a measles shot in the middle of a raging epidemic. You get a measles shot before you get exposed to the measles.
Well, the only one that works like that is, and it's very unusual, is the smallpox. The vaccine actually works.
And the other one is rabies. If you get bit by a rabid animal.
Hey, I got a real quick question. We only got a minute, but in terms of, I've never been to Indiana. Don't feel like going. But here in the U.S. if somebody dies, pretty much you know about it. They're on Social Security; they find out instantly.
Right.
If a million people is everybody registered and known to be around in India to the same extent they are here? Or are we? You know, I'm sure in some places in this country there's people up in a hill in West Virginia or someplace nobody knows they're there. There might be some places kids born here in some neighborhoods that maybe you don't know they're around, but by and large, everybody knows where everybody is. Not in a bad sense, but how many people in India are unaccounted for of 1.3 billion? I don't even know.
I really don't know. But I have to believe that number is quite large, because you think about it. You know, that when you have almost half your country that uses the local street as a bathroom. Well, I mean, you know, you got to wonder how much else is, you know, is missing from the records and, you know, and everything else. I would have to assume that the number's quite sizable.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll kick that around a little bit next week. Take care of yourself, buddy. SP Futures down 21. Come back a little bit. NASDAQ Futures down 100. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jacks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.